Scripture reading this morning will come from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children."
Good morning, and thank you for being with us to worship God in spirit and in truth as we trust. I've entitled the lesson this morning, The Necessity of Remembrance. There are a lot of passages of Scripture in the Bible encouraging us to remember things. We can just look at the book of Deuteronomy and get several examples, more than we can examine, showing us the value of remembering something. We just got finished remembering the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, and what a pleasant remembrance that truly is. U.S. Navy veteran Ron White memorized nearly 7,000 words and more than 2,200 names. Let that sink in just for a minute. 7,000 words, 2,200 names. To put it in perspective, that would be like memorizing Psalm 119. Can anyone quote that Psalm 119 for us this morning? The U.S. recorded the names of the military fallen from Afghanistan on a makeshift wall in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. And this man memorized all the names so that he could call them off. He did it from memory. And he made a comment about that and said, "I have a picture in my mind for each name." It took the veteran who served in Afghanistan in 2007, about 10 months to memorize all those names. Probably would have taken me much longer. And despite the fact that he made the news and many people came to watch what he did, the veteran said that he wasn't doing it to draw attention to himself. He said, "I would have done this in a field by myself if no one showed up, just because it's something that I wanted to do." The story of that man appeared on ABC News. The term remember is used about 13 times or 14 times, depending on your translation, in the book of Deuteronomy. The Deuteronomy contains about three discourses given by Moses to the children of Israel at the end of his faithful life. Remembering motivates and shapes what sort of person you are in the present. Remembering the past. We're shaped by the past, and there are things in our past that we should never forget. There are some things we should forget, but there are some things that we should not. We may categorize these into about five areas, and let's do that in the lesson this morning. We should remember these things as well. In the first place, remember who you were. Who you were at one time. Israel's story was grounded in their experience of slavery under the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt that we've talked about lately. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, the Word of God says this, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." That's similar to Deuteronomy 15 and verse 15 and 16 and verse 12. This is their motivation for keeping the Sabbath day, that they were slaves and they were forced to work. But now they are free and are free to reflect and remember on the days when they were not free. They were to remember that they had been slaves and they were to use this experience and to shape the way that they treated other people, even. or in Deuteronomy 24, beginning in verse 17, the Lord admonished them not to pervert the justice due an alien or an orphan, or take a widow's garment in pledge. And he gives a reason for that. But you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I am commanding you to do this thing. And then he goes on to tell them, when you reap a harvest and you realize, wait a minute, I didn't reap the whole, there's some crumbs left, I need to go back and get those. The Lord said, don't do that. Leave that. Leave that in the field for the orphan, the widow, the alien, so that the Lord may bless you in the work of your hands. He continues with that thought. The concern for justice to those who were on the margin of society, the needy, the unprotected, is a very common theme in the book of Deuteronomy. Farmers were commanded to leave a portion of their crops behind for foreigners, for widows, for orphans to glean, because they had compassion for them. And the reason they had compassion for them is because they needed compassion when they were slaves in Egypt. Mercy was to be shown to the poor in remembrance for their former condition in Egypt, where they had been strangers. They should be motivated, you see, by their own experiences, but they would not be if they did not remember them. Most importantly, they were to show compassion for those who could not care for themselves, because God had shown compassion to them. Now, what does all that mean for us today? Well, there are things that we need to remember today that we make sure that we do not forget. Jesus reminds us that we were slaves to sin. We were slaves just like the people in Egypt were slaves, in the bondage of sin. And what a cruel master sin is. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. He goes further and says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. In verse 35, Jesus uses a social and political illustration to show the self-righteousness of the Jews that were engaged in discussion with him on that particular day, that they are destined to be thrown out of the Lord's house unless they change. A slave may enjoy the privileges of the master's house for a while, but they may not be permanent. At any moment, the slave may be dismissed, or he may be sold to someone else. But a son's place in the home is permanent, and favors that the son gives to whoever, slaves included, would be permanent also. And that is why the favor of being made free would be lasting. That's why Jesus said, free indeed. If the son had caused it to be given, Christ, as the Son of God, has caused our sins to be removed from us if we have obeyed his will. You know, it's really sad to see someone who has forgotten their past and tries to stamp out their past, and it becomes evident that their past is no value to them in terms of remembering it for a good purpose, to make me better, to make me stronger, to make me overcome my mistakes, to make me victorious over my weaknesses. Some people like to stamp out their past altogether. Don't want to remember where they came from, how they were raised, where they were brought up. Those things may not be pleasant for all of us. They may not be the ideal that we would have chosen if we had a choice. But we can use our past, things we've been through in the past, our environment, our raising, our circumstances, to make us into better people, to mold us and to shape us into the people that God wants us to be. Remember who you were. Secondly, Deuteronomy tells us to remember what God did. In Deuteronomy 7, beginning in verse 17, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornets against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. You see how they were encouraged? What God had done to Egypt and her king, Israel had seen with their own eyes. They knew it firsthand. And because of this, they were now free, and God calls upon them to remember for encouragement what they had seen in time past as slaves in Egypt, and what had been done for their deliverance, and who had been the doer of it. They were to remember those things. Thus, every word appears to have an emphasis intended to encourage them to overcome their fears. Now, this encouragement which God addressed to them may serve as a figure which forms the encouragement of every Christian, because it is now that the Christian, as he remembers his privileges and his great blessings that Jesus Christ has accomplished, now every Christian can rejoice in remembering the wonderful redemption that God brought to us through his Son that was wrought for us on the Christ, on the cross by the Christ who died there to forgive us of our sins. The memory of the benefits received in the past was to strengthen their faith in God's help also for their future. And God helps our future in the same way. Further, they were to remember the Lord led them in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. They were called to remember the various dealings of God with them, the dangers they were in, the difficulties to which they were exposed, from which God delivered them, every one, together with the various miracles which he wrought for them and his great long-suffering toward them. Do you think it would be beneficial for them to remember that? Certainly it would in the day-to-day trials of life, wouldn't it? It's only when a person despairs of his own strength and is humbled from his self-presumption that he is ready to hear and obey God. And the entire wilderness journey was an educational process for those people. We might recall the example of David when he faced Goliath. Remember how God had given him victories over the lion and the bear? Do you think that served as some type of encouragement for David as he became distressed over the fact that these people are taunting God's people? Is there not one among us that can go out there and stand for the Lord and fight these godless people? And David took up the gauntlet, didn't he? Today, not only do we remember who we were, but we remember the one who made it possible for us not to be that way anymore. Ephesians 2 explains it. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2 and verse 1. In verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, because his great love, which with he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, he's speaking about now in verse 12. Notice there, verse 11, therefore remember. In verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world? Don't you remember that? But now, in Christ, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You see how important remembrance is to the Christian today? Not only of the people that Moses was appealing to in the book of Deuteronomy, but also today. We might need to remember this one every time when we reflect on who we were. We might need to remember Ephesians 2. When the scars and haunting images of sin began to discourage us, we need to remember what God did for us. In order to help them remember, God gave them some physical acts. He gave them the Sabbath day to remember. So once every week, they were remembering something about God. He gave them the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, other Old Testament festivals. He gave them the Day of Atonement to help them remember. He had them set up memorial stones in certain places so that they would remember something significant. Well, what about us? What physical things do we have today that cause us to remember? What about the Lord's Supper weekly that we observe? It causes us to remember the most important sacrifice that has ever been offered to God, the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. What about our Bible classes? What does that cause us to remember? The first day of the week assembly, when we assemble for worship, what does that cause us to remember? When we prepare our contribution for the work of the Lord, what does that cause us to remember? When we sing praises to God and worship to Him, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, what does that cause us to remember? Anything significant or important? Even when we attend weddings today, what does that cause us to remember? When we celebrate anniversaries in our own families, what does that cause us to remember? Anything significant, important, or good? You see, we still have a lot of things that help us remember things that are good. Remember what God did. Thirdly, remember who blesses you. In Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinance and His statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of a rock of flint. In the wilderness He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now those words were penned a long time ago, weren't they? Long time ago. But do you think that scripture has an application for us today? To be careful, beware, lest when the Lord blesses us with great prosperity, we may begin to think, I'm the one that's done all of this. It's easy to do that. It's easy to be filled with pride. Riches and blessings carry with them the temptation to forget their giver. How many birthday gifts have you received in your life? Can you recall the one who gave you each one? There's a certain danger in falling into the trap of thinking that we attain success and wealth and prosperity and blessing by our own hands. God gives us those things. We need to remember that. Trey Morgan learned something from cancer. After 8 years, here's what he said. I sat in Dr. Pate's office waiting for him to come in and tell me, the little lump is nothing. Go home. Don't worry about it. I was so sure those were going to be his words. That I had told Lee to drop me off just for the appointment and she could go run errands and I didn't feel like I even needed her there. Those words from Dr. Pate never came. Instead, I remember vividly him saying, you have cancer, but you're young and healthy. You should be able to beat this thing. Everything from that point on was a blur. I wasn't sure what shocked me more. You have cancer, or you should be able to beat this thing. Dr. Pate told me to go check in at the hospital because the first two surgeries would be the next morning. A few moments later, I stepped outside and called Lee. Not a pleasant phone call. Within the next 2 weeks, I would have two surgeries. One of the surgeries was a major surgery, so I spent the rest of the summer trying to be recovered from being gutted like a fish. I'm not looking for sympathy today. I'm simply reminding myself of some things that I learned from that hard summer. Simple things. But things that are too easy to forget. I learned things like, I'm not indestructible. I'm not guaranteed 30 more years. I'm not guaranteed 3 more years. I'm not guaranteed 3 minutes. Each and every day is a gift, so I make the most of it. I learned it's impossible to have any sort of self-dignity in a hospital gown. I learned that God still answers prayers. I learned that it was okay to be scared and even to ask God why. I learned that I'm blessed to have friends and family that surround me with support and love. I learned that I have an amazing wife and the caregivers of cancer patients don't get near the credit they deserve. I remember asking Lee as I lay in the hospital, are you heading back home today to take care of the boys? And her response was, no, sir. They are taken care of. You are my husband, and I am your wife, and I'm not going anywhere. I learned that real love, not the stuff you see in the movies or on soap operas, is my wife telling me I look great to her, even when I was pale, skinny, sick, throwing up, and too weak to do a thing. Today I celebrate 8 years and I'm reminded once again just how blessed I am. That's a story from real life. And it might help us and it might encourage us. Remember who blesses you. Remember past failures. Deuteronomy 9, beginning in verse 6. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he would have destroyed you. Moses will oftentimes in his writing speak of the shortcomings and failures of God's people. But he brings that up to them not to rub salt in wounds, but to get them to remember their past mistakes and use those mistakes for growing and maturing and improving. Remembrance of these should keep them humble. And remembrance of our past mistakes and failures should keep us humble as well. We have to not keep on making the same mistakes. Why do you fail? What did you do or not do? Did you use your past experience to help you? Do you remember your past failures so that they can help you improve, be better, be more mature, even today? And remember your history is another valuable lesson, and the final one we'll consider in our lesson this morning. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you." You see this? Remember the days of old. He's saying, remember your history. This is the last of several times Moses challenged the Israelites to remember something significant or important in the book of Deuteronomy. History is important, isn't it? We may not have been a student of history in school. It may be later years of maturity that have led us to a greater appreciation of history, even though we may not care too much for memorizing dates and people and nations and things like that when we were asked to do that going through school. But I think as maturity comes to us, we realize that history is important. All of the nations of the earth, out of all of these nations of the earth, Israel was a nation who had the greatest blessings. And Old Testament people were certainly concerned about their families, weren't they? Their families and their family history and the history of the nation of Israel tell of the great stories of faith. We see that in God's book. Tell of the stories of your faith. We see that in God's book with individuals. Tell of the great stories of faith of your forefathers. We see that in God's book, the inspired writers telling those things. Great stories of faith. What about us? Learn and be able to repeat the struggles and successes and the failures of the past. And God's book is filled with examples of those things. And they can be helpful to us as we teach ourselves and as we teach our children. There are things we should discard from the past. There are things that we should not strive to remember. There are things that we should strive to kill and put aside and not bring up and not let govern us any longer, like bad attitudes. We need to kill those. Stagnation. Bickering and grumbling. We need to dispense with those things from our past. There are things that we should discard. But there are things that we should recover from the past that will be helpful and good for each and every one of us. Things like the simple lifestyle, living a simple lifestyle. The concern over sin. Aggressive evangelism of God's people in the first century should be an encouragement to us. Worship that God's people participated in and we can read about in God's book, and our own worship should be encouraging to us and the local church. The cost that Jesus paid for our sins, the body of the saved, should be a great encouragement for us, and we should always recover those memories from the past and keep them alive. They're very important. Remember who you were. Remember what God did. Remember who blesses you. Remember past failures. And remember your history. These things will be helpful. Thank you for listening to me this morning. I appreciate that so very much. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, we won't ask you to do anything other than what Jesus Christ would ask you to do if He were present standing here speaking to you today. We wouldn't ask you to do anything different than His holy apostles, personally selected, taught, and trained by Him to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that they did. They preached the plan of salvation included in that gospel that was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, taught to them by Jesus, and it was that you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's where faith comes from. It doesn't come from wishful thinking, and it doesn't come from men's imaginations, dreaming up their own concepts and ideas and forming their own traditions. Faith comes from the Word of God, Romans 10. Believe in Jesus Christ. If you study God's Word with an open heart, with honest evaluation, you will see that the Scriptures clearly show and prove to you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who died for our sins and the agent of heaven to bring us the truth. Believe in Christ. Believe in what He teaches you to do, which is repent of your sins and to be baptized in water upon confessing Him as the Son of God. Being baptized in water in order to receive the forgiveness of sins. But it doesn't end there. We must be faithful to Him throughout our lives. And if we are, He will reward us with heaven after a while. What a wonderful blessing that is. And what a wonderful plan and simple plan that is for us to follow today. If anyone is here today and wishes to respond to the Lord's invitation, we would be delighted to assist you in your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's true, please come to the front. Tell me about it. While together, we all stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you today is our prayer.